And joining us on Perspectives today is Azar Nafisi. She is the author of the latest book, Republic of Imagination. She's probably better known for the national bestseller, Reading Lolita in Tehran, a memoir in books, which this was, very compassionate, harrowing portrait of the Islamic Revolution in Iran and how it affected one university professor and her students. And this is a book that spent 117 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. That's quite a long time. And Reading Lolita in Tehran has been translated into 32 languages and has won various literary awards, including the 2004 Nonfiction Book of the Year Award from BookSense, the Frederick W. Ness Book Award, 2004 Latife Yarshiter Book Award, and on and on and on. But we are very glad that you are with us today and taking time out of your busy schedule. She is joining us from Washington, D.C. Azar, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And we're going to talk a little bit about your book in just a minute, The Republic of Imagination. But as I mentioned before, the bestseller that just spent its time on the New York Times bestselling list, Reading Lolita in Tehran. But before that, I want to go back into when you were a child and tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in Iran, and also were you always interested in reading and writing?
Well, yes, I was always interested in reading and later in writing as well. I mention it actually in this new book, Republic of Imagination, that my first interest in reading was kindled by my father. Ever since I remember, I must have been about 3 and a half or something, we had this ritual where he nightly told me and later me and my brother stories. And he was very democratic in the stories he told. One day we will talk about our great epic poet Ferdowsi or stories from 1,000 Nights. And the next day we'll fly to Italy with Pinocchio, to the States with Charlotte's Web, or to England with Alice. So from very early childhood, for me, books and stories were identified with joy and pleasure and a way of connecting to the world, a way of bringing the world into my own little room.
You know, you were one of the fortunate ones because the art of storytelling is almost like it's disappeared now, except for Audible and audiobooks now, which are being dramatized instead of just read. And so you were very fortunate to have your father do that. And because of that, you were able to, as you mentioned, travel all over the world, go to the United States, go to different parts of the world, just because of your imagination, because of the way your father told the stories. Now, when you were in that atmosphere of listening to your daddy tell you stories, what about after that? What happened? Were you able to share those stories with other people? Did some of your other friends have similar experiences, or were you very fortunate to just have that?
Well, I think that in one sense, I was very fortunate because my family, I mean, I mentioned in my books that the only thing my family could be called quote-unquote snobbish about, it was about books. So for me and my brother, since our childhood, my books were identified with everything that is good in the world. Actually, if we were good children, our reward was always books. But also, my childhood was sort of in a little bit golden because it was kind of a transition period in Iran where the place was very cosmopolitan. So, for example, apart from books, there were so many movies that were shown in Iranian movie houses, and those films also came from all over the world. I remember that is how I first got to know the American musicals, thinking how strange they were, you know, and how whimsical that suddenly in the middle of eating food very formally at a table, people would get up and sing and then go back to their business. So that period was also a very special time.
And as far as what was going on in Iran at that time, tell us a little bit about that, because there are people who have stereotypes and they'll think about, well, she grew up and she was probably in a cave somewhere hiding and they were reading stories by candlelight while there was turmoil happening all over the country. And that's the way the movies and Hollywood and everybody paints you.
Unfortunately, that is the reason, and that was one reason why I wanted to tell my story. I wanted to tell people that Iran is not the kind of country that is being defined through, as you mentioned, Hollywood, as well as by politics and the regime that is now trying to define it. And the Iranian people, first of all, you know, it's a very ancient country. And ever since, again, I was a child, my father would tell me that this is a very ancient country. It has been invaded and destroyed so many times. But what keeps us alive as a nation, what gives us identity, is not just this government that reign over it. It is the poetry that from 1,000 years ago to present, we have these continuous definition of what it means to be an Iranian, not through its politics, but through its poets. And in fact, my childhood was filled with joy and sensuality, and every weekend, which was Thursday nights through Friday, my father would take me to films. And it wasn't because we belonged to a prosperous family that this happened. Films and the music and books were, in fact, quote-unquote, cheap ways for the population to enjoy themselves. What Iran lacked, and it came into conflict with the social and cultural freedoms, was political freedom.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Azar Nafisi, and she is the author of the book The Republic of Imagination. She is also best known for her book Reading Lolita in Tehran. Let's talk a little bit about, Azar, if you don't mind, because you mentioned about your father taking you to the movies and stuff like that. And again, getting back to Hollywood and politics and the stereotypes, there's also a negative picture painted of daughters, girls, and women in Iran.
Yes, that is very true. And that is why I always refer people to go and read about the history and culture independently of what they hear in the media or through the mouth of not just politicians, but, political experts, so-called. That is where you will find the truth. And the truth that you will find is that when you read Persian poetry, you find how sensual it is. You know that wine in our classical poetry is a sign of communion with God. We have women fictional characters written in the poems by our epic poet Ferdowsi in 11th century that not only choose their husbands but choose their lovers. We have feminist poets that go back to the beginning of last century. The first woman that unveiled in Iran was a poet in early 1800s, and she was also the precursor of a new religion which we now call Baha'is and she was killed in 1836. So when people read about one another through culture, through music, through the art, they understand that they have much more in common than when they come to mere politics.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Azar Nafisi. She is the author of the recent book, The Republic of Imagination. You've written several other books, as I mentioned before, Azar, and one of the ones that stands out to me, and I think our listeners would be interested in finding out more about it, is Things Have Been Silent About.
Yes, that was my memoir. Actually, I was going to, after reading Lolita in Tehran, at first I was going to write Republic of Imagination, but my parents both passed away within a very short time after reading Lolita in Tehran was published.
I'm sorry.
Which was my mother passed away in January of 2003, and my father in December of 2004.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
And I just was completely involved and taken by both the grief of losing them, and at the same time feeling that I have lost not just them, but the country of my birth, which I loved so much, and that I needed to sort of continue and finish conversation with them. And in a country like Iran, writing about your personal life and at times problems and flaws is sort of a taboo. I knew that I would be breaking that taboo, but I needed to write. So Things I've Been Silent About is a memoir that on one hand is personal, but on the other hand, it is also intersecting with Iranian modern history and Iranian culture. It was a sort of appreciating and both saying goodbye and saying hello to my parents and the country I was forced to leave.
The recent book is called The Republic of Imagination. And I'm wondering, as far as this book goes, it says, on one of the books, it says, America in three books. Is that the same book or is it a different copy?
You know, I know that this is creating confusion. On the hardcover, it was America in three books.
Okay, and the
paperback is different.
I had always
felt that this is not the right subtitle for it. So we changed the paperback to A Life in Books.
So tell us a little bit about this book, because people remember reading Lolita in Tehran, and for those who haven't read it, we'll kind of do a little bit of a summary in just a minute. But let's talk about this novel, The Republic of Imagination.
Well, my editor always reminds me that I was already thinking of Republic of Imagination as I was finishing the last chapter in reading Lolita in Tehran. And in that chapter, I pose a question, quoting the great American writer Saul Bellow, who says, "Those who survived the ordeal of Holocaust, how will they survive the ordeal of freedom?" And I felt that freedom is an ordeal, and it's a responsibility and a challenge. And in the America we live today, sometimes we tend to forget that. And I felt that the crisis that we had today in America was not simply an economic or political crisis, but it was a crisis of vision. And one needed to revisit, and redefine the amazing history and culture of this country in order to understand its reality better. So that is how this book was born, with the question, can a democratic society survive without a democratic imagination?
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Azar Nafisi, and she is the author of the book, The Republic of Imagination. Now, this book, because as you mentioned, the previous subtitle talked about three books, and those books that you kind of incorporate in this book, memoir, is it a memoir? Would you call it a memoir also? It's nonfiction.
Well, my books keep turning up to be a medley of both a personal memoir as well as interpretations of books. It seems as if I cannot separate the two.
Well, they're very enjoyable and very nice to read. But I mentioned here about the other books, and one of them is a character that is very familiar to American high schoolers and children who have read in high school and in junior high, and that's Huckleberry Finn or Huck Finn.
Yes. Yes, I taught Huck Finn. Huck Finn was the first book I taught in Iran, and my students were fascinated by it. But I was really, really taken by my other reading now, not as a student, but as a teacher in Iran and later on in U.S. while I was teaching it here as well. And I believe that Huckleberry Finn, I believe with Hemingway and many others, is the sort of parent to great American novel. America couldn't compete with Europe in terms of its hundreds and centuries of culture. We didn't have a Shakespeare or a Molière or a Dante. But what America had was this new landscape, this new language, these new characters. And you find their manifestation, their fictional and imaginative manifestation first in Huckleberry Finn. No other character in fiction is like Huck and Jim. No other landscape like the Mississippi River. And no other language like the way they Huck and Jim and others talk. The last thing I want to say, which for me is perhaps one of the most important things, is that I believe Huckleberry Finn also formulated what it means to be moral in America. It defined great American novel as guardians of morality in this country.
One of the other books, and this is Sinclair Lewis, is quite a different author from Mark Twain, and you talk about Babbitt, and Sinclair Lewis, of course, is probably a little bit more familiar with students here in America when reading The Jungle. And that, I mean, this man just put it out there for everybody to see, and, you know, you think and you read about this, and you're going, wait a minute, what is going on? This is happening here in our country, and these people are going through this. Look at what these immigrants have to go through, etc. Tell us about how you incorporated Babbitt.
Sinclair Lewis's books, from Main Street to Babbitt to others, they all take one important aspect of America. But Babbitt specifically, I believe it's his best book. And it is specifically the book that creates a new character again, but a new character that is anti-Huck, the other side of being American, the materialistic, superficial, gadget-besotted, you know, kind of America that creates conformity. And according to at least these great novels I have read, they feel that conformity and complacency, indifference, is the greatest danger and enemy to American democracy. And Babbitt becomes representative of what one character in Babbitt calls standardization of thought.
We're visiting with New York Times best-selling author Anzar Nafisi. She is the author of the recent book, The Republic of Imagination. She's best known also for her Reading Lolita in Tehran. New York Times best-selling book was on the best-selling list for weeks and weeks, over 100 weeks, 117 to be exact. What about the third book, McCullers, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter?
Well, McCullers does a very interesting thing, and she was only 22, I think, or 23 when The Heart is a Lonely Hunter was published. She gathers all the marginal characters that exist in America in one small southern town, and she shows how these characters feel isolated from society and from themselves. They are so lonely and isolated that they cannot communicate with one another. They all are in love to talking to someone who's a deaf mute, who cannot understand them. But for McCullers, what will be the salvation of each of these characters is the fact that they are passionate about something. The girl, Mick, loves music. There's the labor activist and agitator. There's an African-American doctor obsessed with the way his people are treated in America today. You know, so each of these characters have a passion, have something to live for. And in Carson McCullers, that is the glimmer of hope for each of them. When you not only selfishly take, but you are going to give something back to the world through your passion.
We are visiting with New York Times best-selling author Anzar Nafisi, the author of The Republic of Imagination. Speaking of passion, and what you gave is a lot of passion to your students in the book, Reading Lolita in Tehran, and I mentioned to our listeners that we were going to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to that now. And for people who may not have read it, you introduced these young ladies, girls in Iran, to the worlds of Jane Austen, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Mark Twain, all those authors that, you know, that perhaps maybe your father didn't even read mm-hmm. you some of those stories.
Yes, because those young students, as well as the youth all over Iran, they were not deprived of any form of direct connection to the world. And I felt that the best way to introduce the world to them, and in this case America, was through its golden ambassadors. It was through his, mainly for me as a teacher of literature, books, but also films and art and music. And it was amazing how enthusiastic they were. And it was also amazing how much they appreciated those books, sometimes more than my students in America. And while I wanted to tell those girls' stories, I also wanted to remind the young people in America that sometimes they take these freedoms, these great gifts that they have, too much for granted, and that they should never do that, that imagination is needed as much in a democratic society as it is needed in a country like Iran, where young people might be flogged or go to jail for listening to their favorite song or reading a banned book.
Anzar, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to share with us your
thank
experience
you so much,
and everything else. What is a website that you would recommend for people to go to find out more about your books and about yourself?
Well, I have my website and Facebook and Twitter. It is www.azarnafisi.com. And I would love and appreciate and welcome any comments via the social media, including Twitter and Facebook.
Well, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.